We have four items on the agenda today. I want to give due respect, particularly to HCR 102A, but I will tell you after I get through 102A, it is the preference of the chair to move expeditiously, and so I think it's probably the preference of the committee to move expeditiously, but to be as much detail as we need. Thorough, yes, very thorough. But I'm going to go actually to the concurrent resolution 102A first. HCR, well, I'll open a public hearing on HCR 102A in memoriam Lyle Swetland. Yes, and Representative Holy, will you please come forward?
I'm using your bill files, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if those 13,000 things up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, State Representative Paul Holvey, District 8, and Eugene and Lane County. I'm sure many think I'm here on a different issue, but I am here to speak in favor of HCR 102A. It's, in reading, I won't read the resolution to you. I'm sure you can do that. I just want to say that this was a member of my community and somebody who I was very well acquainted with, who had a long history in our community from working on getting funding for senior housing, the UPOA Terrace, 224 units in Eugene, and was a long time member of the labor community in the in Lane County Labor Council, and also the state AFL-CIO, served, as you know, under a couple of different governors, Governor Holmes and Governor Hatfield, I believe, on the Council for Aging. Really served in the military in World War II, just helped build his church in our community. It was really a big part of building our community, and it's really an honor for me to bring this resolution, and I hope you vote favorably on it to move it through. I don't really have a lot to add to that. Certainly I can answer any questions about him if you would like. I know your time is important.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Holby. We have done actually a number of resolutions for people from different communities that have contributed greatly to their communities. And while some people wonder why we do these, I actually think it's a very good thing to do because a lot of these people don't get the kind of recognition that they deserve. And if we can give them that opportunity, it's probably a very good thing for us to do. Any questions for Representative Holby? I will close.
Before you close, I just wanted to add one thing I left out that was very important, that he also helped establish Lane Community College in Eugene, and I was on the first board of that, and ever since then, you know, worked in raising funds to help finance that college. Really a huge part I left out I needed to put on the record. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Holby. Okay, I will close the public hearing, open a work session on House Concurrent Resolution 102.
Mr. Chair, I would move HCR 102 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
102A.
Sorry.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. Motion passes. Senator Prusansky will carry. Now I will go to HCR 101. I will open a public hearing on HCR 101. Would you, Committee Administrator, please give a report?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 1 declares June 17, 2008, a Salem-Keizer Volcanoes Baseball Day in recognition of their success and contributions of the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes baseball team.
Okay, and we have one party to testify, Mr. Jerry Howard. Good afternoon, Mr. Howard. If you'd please identify yourself for the record and just talk to us a little bit about the resolution.
Good afternoon, Chairman Devlin and distinguished members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jerry Howard. I'm an employee of the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes professional baseball team. I'm here today to testify and see if I can persuade you to favorably pass 101 out of committee. There are several reasons, and I would like to very quickly state a few of those. One is not only because owner Jerry Walker and Bill Tucker took a monumental gamble in moving their franchise from Bellingham, Washington to Salem Kaiser and building a $6 million stadium when professional baseball in Salem area, albeit many decades, has been here but has gone through some hard times, and it was not known if the people here would support this new club or not. It was a monumental gamble. Not only because the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes contribute over $4 million annually to the economical impact of this valley, and not only because when Mr. Walker went to the Salem Kaiser City Council, that he stated from the movie, if you build it, they will come. Not only meaning if you build the stadium that the fans will come, but if you approve the stadium being built, business will come to the northeast corner of Kaiser. Mm-hmm. And that was the birth of Kaiser Station, which is rapidly developing at the moment and will contribute enormously to the economic value. And not only because in 11 years of bringing nearly 400 players to this area who are 18 to 23 years old, who have come in to an enormous amount of money through their signing bonuses, some of $2 and $3 million each, and coming far away from home with a lot of temptation, the Volcanoes have an impeccable reputation, an unblemished reputation of never having an incident happen in the community with the players, whether it involved alcohol, drugs, or an assault of a young lady. And not only because we are the 2006-2007 back-to-back Northwest League champions, and last season's 57 wins was the most wins of any franchise in the 53-year history of the Northwest League. And our winning percentage of .750 was the best in all of baseball, major or minor league. And the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, out of 184 minor league teams across America, 184, we were voted 2007 National Minor League Team of the Year, the best minor league franchise in all of minor league baseball. With that said, I very humbly submit to you that I would like for you to consider passage of 101 out of committee here, as we feel the Volcanoes have served this community very, very well in providing clean-cut, wholesome family entertainment through the medium of baseball. Thank you for your time. It's an honor to come here and testify in these hallowed halls. And if you have any questions, I'd be very happy to answer them for you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Howard. Any questions? Yes, Senator Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. On your left hand is a gigantic ring. Is that symbolic of baseball in any way?
It is. It is. This is the championship ring from the 2006 season. The rings for 2007 will be presented at spring training, March 14th.
A little longer for the cameras. Ball bling.
That's impressive.
We
want to
see it. Okay.
That's good stuff.
Any additional questions? No. Thank you very much for coming here today. I've actually had the opportunity to enjoy at least a couple of your games. So I would like to do more.
Well, thank you very much. You were one of over 1.34 million fans who have sat in Volcano Stadium to watch a game. Thank you all for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, we were wondering what you were doing in your spare time. Now we know.
Okay. I will close the public hearing, seeing no one else. I will open a work session on HCR 101. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move HCR 101 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
HCR 101 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing no objection, motion passes. Close the work session. Senator Gary George will carry.
Courtney?
I have.
Okay.
Next week in Georgia's district. I will go now. I know you're all eager for SCR 25, but that will be the last item on this agenda. But on I'll go to House Bill 3631A, and while some things are distributed, I'll wait for the committee, well, my replacement committee administrator to come back and give an explanation of the bill and the amendment that is before you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3631A, I think, is now known throughout the building as the Toy Bill. It prohibits retailers from selling, offering, for sale, or distributing certain children's products subject to a recall that's issued by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. You have in front of you, committee members, a dash A12 amendment. On the staff measure summary, it has a you have a, what's listed as a dash A10 and a dash A11. The dash A12 combines both amendments, so I'll go over the dash A12 for your reference. What the amendment will do is that on section one of the bill, this establishes a definition for warning, which clarifies that only warnings that are intended to inform the retailer about the product's health or safety hazard, or instruct the retailer to remove the product from inventory or method that eliminates the hazard, are included in the measures provision. So that the existing warnings on a product are not included in the bill, but those that are issued by a manufacturer would be covered under the bill's provisions. It also clarifies in Section 2 that the children's products that are defined in the measure are subject to recall notices by either this Consumer Product Safety Commission or successor agency. It removes the term another federal agency from the measure. It also adds a new section, which is now Section 4, which places Section 2 of the measure into ORS 646-607. It's currently in 646-608. And the Dash 12 amendment also clarifies that an unlawful trade practice has occurred if the violation has taken place 30 more days after a recall notice, warning, or declaration is issued for the children's product that is subject to the violation. The operating date of the measure and the amendment would still be May 1st, 2008.
Is there anyone here to testify? My understanding, and having talked to the proponents, having talked to my own staff who has talked to some of the parties that have issues, that everyone is fine with the Dash A12 amendments. Is there anyone that wants to get up and counter that argument? Okay. Any questions?
Yes.
Help me. Last time we visited this bill, I was mentioning a small town toy store in my district, actually in my hometown, that's no longer in my district. But anyway,
It's another story.
But it has it's a very high-end toy store, and I wanted in absolutely following the law. I mean, never a violation, never. I mean, absolutely top and integral small business. My concerns with that had to do with some of the other toys that they have that were never going to be on a recall list because they're fine. But I was concerned that that they could be opening themselves up for lawsuits if some of the, say, figurines or airplanes or whatever they sell that my son's father likes to enjoy became a choking hazard or something else for a child, and they were set up for a lawsuit. And I want to make sure that this law did not do that.
Okay,
has that been remedied?
The committee administrator or the party that's here from the Department of Justice, why don't you come forward?
I guess I have a clarification question. The toys,
yes, ma'am.
Are you talking about, are they more considered antique toys, or are they, if they're not the CSPC has recalls that are issued back to 1973, I believe. That's what's on the current list. If they are not on that list, or there has not been a formal warning issued by a manufacturer, then they will be fine. If there is a recall notice on them, then under with the Dash 12 amendment, my understanding is, and if I'm wrong, please let me know, it would be an unlawful trade practice if that toy stays on the shelf 30 days after a 30-day period. And if that case, and that's still there, then a consumer can do a private right of action after that 30-day period of time.
Do you have some additional clarification? And identify yourself.
Chair Devlin, Andrew Scholl, Oregon Department of Justice, Financial Fraud Consumer Protection Section. I think that's essentially accurate. The bill, particularly with the new warning scope that's being considered, is narrowed. It has to be a product that has been recalled by the CPSC, in which case there could be liability if they continue to sell it, particularly 30 days afterwards, based on the new amendments. It has to have had a warning directed to the retailer that indicates it's not safe to sell, or some sort of remediation has to occur to sell, or it has to be on the statutory and promulgated rule prohibition list of DHS.
So another question. So the clock starts ticking when the retailer receives the notification, however they receive the notification?
As I understand the proposals written, it would actually be as the CPSC has issued the recall.
So, Senator Atkinson, my understanding would be obviously the bill has an implementation date of, I believe, May 1st, that retailers would probably check if they didn't already have these things in place, and many already do have systems in place to remove recalled products. They would probably check all this prior to May 1st. Then what would actually be if there had been a notice from the Consumer Product Safety Commission, then from 30 days from that date, there would be DOJ enforcement, and going beyond that date, after the 30th day, there would be private right of action. Now, if we go past May 1st, the 30 days just starts basically whenever any new notice comes from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And for the first 30 days of that notice, it would be DOJ enforcement. And after 30 days, then it would be the potential private right of action.
And Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, I concur.
So two more quick. Right now, they already informed the retailers?
Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, right now there are manufacturers that inform certain retailers directly, as I understand it.
I'm not worried
about CPSC. The CPSC, retailers have to take a duty to get that information from the CPSC. It can be automatic, whether it's a listserv or a toll-free telephone call. But the retailer does have to take the effort to receive that information, including, as the bill contemplates, direction if they contact DOJ, link information on the DOJ website, et cetera.
Here's my concern. So it's the day after Christmas, and it's my small retailer is just swamped, as they always are, because that's when you make money in the toy business. And some notifications posted on a website, and they're starting to crank through 16-hour work days, and they just keep working, and it gets down to December 24th, and they're still working, and somebody's late, and they're still selling toys. Right now, I'm starting to get up to the onus is upon the small retailer to do the checking. Is that right?
Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, with that example, it would be, if the recall comes out on the first day of December 2009, they essentially, under the private right of action, have 30 days to receive that information and to pull the product from their shelf.
If their concern is a private right of action.
Thank you.
Senator Atkinson, one clarification too. I hate to admit this, but I have actually spent a couple of hours on the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website, which is categorized in terms of recalls of various items, and they are listed by manufacturer, by type. Actually, they were listed by category first, and then you go to that category and you see which manufacturers have recalls. And identification. The reason that I sought this amendment, that I sought to the bill, is I wasn't actually too worried about the Toys R Us or the KB Toys. I was worried because the bill applied to everyone, and all the way from them down to the smallest retailer, so I thought it was appropriate to give them a little bit more time before they faced potentially the onus of a private right of action. But still, requiring them to comply with the law prior to that. And I think that's what this bill attempts to do. Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I just have one follow-up question, and that is, in the 30-day time frame, does the retailer have the obligation then to remove the toy from the shelf, i.e. the other option would be to put it on do a fire sale? And I assume that would be a problem as well, but I just want to clarify.
Chair Devlin, Senator Brown, that's actually the overall concern with a free period, essentially. In that situation where they've received the notification, they may or may not be violating many other laws.
Okay.
But essentially, for the private right of action, they have 30 days to pull it.
And a clarification, if the party wants to come forward, I would say, too, I think there's language in the law about proper disposal of these items. There is also, I think, in most cases, due to the other liability issues that might accrue to a retailer, they would want to get them off their shelves, and they would not want to sell as many of them as the notice soon came out.
I wanted to make sure.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller, representing the Northwest Grocery Association, and that's exactly right. I mean, when there is a recall notice, we're going to do our best effort to get it off the shelf right away, not just from a liability standpoint. But I think to answer Senator Brown's question, we don't view this as a grace period. We view it as you got to get it off the shelf. If they're still willfully selling that item, obviously they're still under the enforcement of the Attorney General's office, and they should go after those people. What we were obviously concerned about at the first hearing was the inadvertent private right of action, in which most states do have some kind of requirement of how many days after the notice. This particular bill provides that, and I think we actually view it in leaving the private right of action after a 30-day period. If someone's going to take those items and willfully sell them at another venue, whether it be a flea market or those kind of things, after the 30 days, I think this does provide adequate protections for a private right of action to go after those people, because they should not be selling these toys.
And Chair Devlin, Senator Brown, it's important along with that to note, as was alluded, that DOJ would still have the enforcement authority under 646-607, and particularly if it's a recall for something like a strangulation hazard, that would be those sorts of evidence that justifies the provision under the UTPA for the Attorney General to take immediate action in circuit court and to forego the notice requirements of the Unlawful Trade Practices Act, if coupled with evidence such as the retailer had, actual knowledge of the recall, et cetera.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Any additional questions?
Strangulation.
Seeing none, thank you both very much.
Chair, I think that will address some of the concerns.
Okay. I will close the public hearing. And I'll open a work session on House Bill 3631. What would it say?
Hey.
Do I have a motion on the -12 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I would move the -A12 amendments to House Bill 3631.
The -12 amendments to 3631 have been moved. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? If there are no objections, motion passes. Is there a main motion to move the measure to the floor, A, as amended, with due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3631 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I have significant concerns about the bill as it relates to a couple of small retailers in Southern Oregon. I'm not going to hold the bill up, but I... Not that I could all by myself. Not that it wouldn't be the first time I've tried. But I am going to vote for this, but I'm also going to report back to the full floor about if they're already checking this website. My concern is just knowing small business in between Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And that's got me very concerned that we're going to put this burden on people who are doing great. I don't want them becoming a target in any way.
Okay. Understood. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can appreciate those comments. At the same time, when somebody starts a business, even when they're a small business, there's a certain responsibility that goes along with that to make sure that what you're putting out into the public, especially when it affects children, is safe. And those federal recall lists exist for a reason, not just, I mean, they exist to protect the public, but also to provide information to retailers. And so I would hope that anybody opening up a business is going to have a system and process that does check that on a regular basis, regardless of whether this law passes or not.
Okay. Any additional comments? Okay. Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing no objections, motion passes. I will carry. Now we'll come on to this little measure, SCR 25. I will open a public hearing. My understanding is there are about 125 people seated out at tables that would like to come and testify on behalf of this motion. All right, sir. Any discussion? Yes.
Yes, I'd like to offer an amendment. The amendment would be that Senator Farioli does not believe that the brass will actually be polished in one evening. I have great concern about us leaving the building with only half the staircase done. I'm wondering if we need a caveat in here that the staircase needs to be completely finished before we leave. I have no takers. Senator Brown looks; she doesn't want to do it.
Yes.
Senator Farioli, a response.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have long believed that Senator Avakian should be worried about being half-brassed.
Oh.
So I share his concern.
I'll withdraw my appeal for an amendment.
Are we in work session, Mr. Chair?
Not yet.
Thank goodness.
misery, please.
Given that this might go even further, I will close the public hearing. Is there a motion on SCR 25?
I would move SCR 25.
Work session.
Oh, I think my motion came too fast.
Slow it down.
I would move SCR 25 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, it's been moved. Any additional discussion? Any objections?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
What is the mechanism for pulling this bill to the floor?
It is actually technically on the floor, and I think will be carried forward on the agenda till its appropriate time that it is needed.
But I think it requires how many votes is the question.
Yeah.
Let's pull a bill to the floor.
And Senator Brown, I think if offered, this bill passes.
I understand that. I thought you were looking, Mr. Chair. I thought he was looking for a motion for withdrawal and moving the bill directly to the floor.
Okay. It's been moved to recommend SCR 25 to the floor with the due pass recommendation to be voted on when appropriate. Any objections? Hearing none. Passes. Committee members, I'll carry. We will have... I will not carry. Senator Brown will carry.
Oh, her swan song.
No, you're going to make us cry.
Yes, I'm going to make her cry because she will still be here. She will still be here for confirmations, but hopefully this will be the last session this year. So I will have asked Senator Brown to carry.
Oh, it better be the last session, Mr. Chair.
Don't take that bet, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So with that, we will adjourn momentarily, but we are going to have a very full agenda tomorrow. I think we will use both of our existing times. Plus, we are going to go through the normal scenario of bills coming over to the Senate coming to the floor doing first readings, us issuing notice, us coming back here, voting the bills back, whatever we do with them, vote them back, whatever, going away, coming back again. So we can expect that if we need to be here, we will be here till midnight tomorrow night, and hopefully that will not be necessary.
No, it's fine if everybody's here tomorrow night. It's fine.
That's all right.
Because I want them all to work.
So we're on at 10 tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, we don't have an agenda posted for 10 o'clock. We do have an agenda posted for 1 o'clock with two executive appointments.
Okay.
By phone.
I'll see what more we can do. If we can't get some...
You don't have anything in committee at this time.
Well, I know, but if we don't, I'll wait till 1 and I'll let you all... Okay. I'll make sure you all know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Sweet night.